Well, good evening. Good to see everybody. Hope you're seeing me. I envision you. I really do. Sitting there in your living rooms and wherever you are, tuning in via your phone or laptop. But I'm so thankful for the opportunity. Thank you for tuning in tonight for our Wednesday night Bible study. I hope you've had a good week, and hope the Lord's blessed you, encouraged you, and looking forward to getting in God's Word tonight. But thank the Lord, we are grateful for another week to serve Him and trust Him. And I've just been so glad to hear from many of you via text or just a message on social media, things of that nature, and do appreciate that. I appreciate your prayers. Let me give you an update. Before you do, just be sure to share the post and invite folks to tune in with us that don't have a church to attend, and love to have them join with us, get encouraged by the Word of God. Let me give you an update on my ankle. It's a good update, good news. Went to the doctor this morning and had an X-ray, and the doctor said that it looked really good. He said it's healing up nicely, and so thankful that it is. And I do give God the glory. I thank God for your prayers. But he gave me a boot, and I'm telling you, it's a fancy boot. I am so blessed. This thing is, I feel like I'm wearing the newest version of the Air Jordans, in the boot form. I really do. It's got an air pump on it and everything. I told somebody, I said, I feel like I might be able to do some dunking, but, you know, that's a lie. I ain't getting nowhere near that, but nevertheless, it's doing well. He said I have to wear it about 5 weeks. And should be able to be walking on it even now, as long as it's not hurting real bad. Just gradually work into that. But continue to pray for healing in that way, and I would greatly appreciate it. Well, if you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter with me tonight. 1 Peter, we'll be looking at a couple verses, and 1 Peter will also be in 1 John. But I am looking forward to seeing what the Lord has for us. I'm looking forward to Mother's Day this Sunday. I hope you'll do your best to make it to the drive-in service and try to most definitely tune in via live stream. But we want to honor you moms and you sweet mothers out there. We appreciate you so very much. And we want to honor you and be an encouragement. That'll be this Sunday. We'll be doing our drive-in service at 10 a.m. And before I forget, and because I most likely will, I may not, but I most likely will, in case I do, just remind you, we will not have our services on Sunday night. We've been doing this Sunday night. We've been doing live stream, and it being Mother's Day, we're just going to take the evening off and have our service that morning, and then we'll pick back up in the following Wednesday, a week from today. But praise the Lord. Amen. Have your Bibles ready. Get your Bibles open to 1 Peter. If you're just joining with us, 1 Peter chapter 1. And please grab something to write with. Call the family in. And we just want to get everybody together, as many as we can. Let's begin with a word of prayer, shall we? Father, oh God, how much we need You. And Lord, there are days that I regretfully confess that I do not realize how much I need You. But God, I'm thankful for Your grace and mercy that shows me daily. Oh Lord, in some days more than others, where You convince me and make it very clear, oh God, how foolish I would be without being completely dependent upon Your grace and Your Spirit to work in my life. And Lord, I do want to thank You tonight for allowing us to be together via Facebook. I pray that You would bless the service via live stream. I pray You'd be with other churches tonight that are doing the same. Pray You'd encourage them. God, I pray You'd bring about a revival in our land, a stirring, an awakening as we look to Your Word and the power of Your Spirit. And so now, Lord, we commit ourselves to You in the precious name of Jesus. And God asks You to direct us and revive us. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, if you're there with me in 1 Peter, I am going to read verse number 1. And then we're going to skip down to verse number 13. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, and then we'll go down to verse number 13. The Bible says here, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Then go down with me to verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now we'll spend most of our time in verse number 13, but I do want to mention verse 1 as an introduction. You know, last week we talked about the blessings of God's forgiveness when we have fallen, when we have chosen our own way, a sinful way, and given in to our selfishness in whatever form it may be in, and how God reaches us where we are and forgives us, restores us as we respond biblically, as we respond rightly, and that's in humility, that's in repentance, having a change of mind, and how awesome God's mercy truly is. And I hope that message was strengthening to you. If you missed it, please go back and just listen to it and let the Word of God work in your heart and on the subject of God's marvelous forgiveness and restoration. And but this week, you know, last week we talked about how God responds to us after we have fallen. But tonight, I want to talk about a little different aspect. I want to talk about how God deals with us in preparing us not to fall. Basically, I'd like to just give you some thoughts tonight on how to keep you from falling. Ways that we can walk strongly and circumspectly and accurately and have the blessings and protection of God upon our life. And I do find that here to be true in 1 Peter. You know, I tell you, I've been these past 10 days since having a cast and using the crutches. I don't know that I've ever used crutches before in my life until this week at the age of 39. And I want to tell you, it's a greater challenge than I expected. I've had a couple stumbles, and thank God none of them have been too serious. But it's been a challenge, and one of the things that I have found to be a challenge is making sure I know where my next step is going to be, but not only my next step, where my next landing for that crutch is going to be. It's very, as I'm navigating, whether it's a parking lot or whether it's a room, stepping over from hardwood to carpet or stepping over something. And one thing that has come to my mind several times this past week is when you have children in your home, ages 8, 6, and 3, there is a good chance there's going to be some sort of toy or shoe, especially when it's a slipper, a princess slipper, one of those small plastic ones that you don't see until you're actually stepping on it. And there are those type of things you're going to run into, and that you got to be careful of, especially when you're trying to protect a foot that's an ankle that's already been broken. And you know, my point is I found myself being extra cautious these past 10 days on to keep from falling, to looking out for ways that I can not stumble again. And you know, God most definitely gives us the ability and the tools and the instruments and the power and ability to avoid falling spiritually. And tonight I hope I can be an encouragement to you to have things to think about. The first thing I want you to think about with me tonight is the context of our letter. Peter is writing to Jewish Christians. The reason I believe that is because of what we see here. Peter, an apostle, it says who he's writing to right here. Notice those three words, to the strangers. Now, is it not strange to use the word strangers? Well, maybe if we were looking at it in the context of way we use stranger in English, but Peter's not using stranger in the context that we use it. In fact, we use it in the context of a stranger, someone we don't really know, someone we're not acquainted with, and we would look at them as a stranger. But this Greek word goes far beyond that. It goes beyond that meaning. In fact, the Greek word, if you look at it, it starts off with para, which means alongside, and then epi in the middle, which means to be upon, and then demos, the last word, means to be, has the idea of people living in a heathen city. So what he is saying here, he's writing to you who are now alongside or upon people or heathen, unbelievers in the same city. And that's who this is. And it goes and names all those different regions that you see. What those are places outside of Judea, Jerusalem. And where a Jewish Christian, of course, would be a minority, and even where Jews were, quite frankly. But then even more so, a Jewish Christian, a Jewish believer in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they are strangers. And notice that next word, it says to the strangers, and then it says scattered. Now, that word scattered is the Greek word diaspora, where we get our English word diaspora. And that basically is referring to Jews who live outside of Jerusalem, in a region outside of the city of Jerusalem. And for this particular context, we don't know all the reasons why, because this, in this context, it's before the fall of Jerusalem, which is A.D. 70. This was before that. Jews of those times really moved out beyond Jerusalem many times for commerce and business and different things of that nature, moving out. And that's where the reason they could have been that. But nevertheless, these were a Jewish believers who had been scattered, who had been scattered abroad by the provident hand of God. You see, we don't know all the reasons, but we do know that God has planted them there by His providence. And it's very important to note, I believe, in this context, that you understand that you also have been divinely planted. You have been planted as a stranger. We live in a world, okay, where most of the known world do not believe in the gospel. They don't adhere to the Word of God, to the Bible. Most of the world doesn't. And God has placed us here as strangers, and because we are among them for a reason. And He's also scattered us. And that word scattered, again, carries the idea of God placing you. So may we be reminded that wherever you are in the world today, God has placed you there by His divine providence. And He has placed you there to be a stranger, if you will, and a stranger with a purpose, to be a light, to be scattered about, to be a light to draw others to the gospel. And we'll talk more about that here in just a moment. But that word that we talked about, scattered, was where we get our English word dispersion, and it means to sow or to scatter about. And I do believe that God has put us all around the globe and continues to put His children all around the globe so that we may disseminate the gospel story, that we might sow, if you will, the seed of the Word of God and hearts all around us. And so never forget, friend, that your main objective as a believer in the gospel is to get the seed of the Word of God in as many places as you possibly can. A good test would just be to ask yourself, when is the last time you made a concerted effort, or I did, to give the Word of God to someone? And that is what we ought to be doing completely all of the time. So, understanding the context, these are strangers where they are under severe persecution. And we know that, don't we? If you read the book of 1 and 2 Peter, it's very clear. For instance, look there at verse number 7. We know that they are going through a difficult time, and Peter is writing to encourage them, because notice what he says in verse 7, that the trial of your faith, it is being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. All right? It's a real trying time. Christian, do you feel like you're going through a trying time right now? That is good. God is going to use that in your life, and we're going to see how we respond in those times. And he says that it might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, please underline that in your Bible or mark that. That I do believe that is in reference to the coming of Christ. And we'll talk more about that here in just a second, too. But we see here, there is a definite trying time. And then also, if you notice there, going on down in your Bibles, look there at verse number 12, and he's going to continue talking about, verse 11, he's going to talk about the sufferings of Christ and trying to encourage them along those lines. And then we will see it more throughout the Word of God in the area of suffering. So, Christian, tonight I want to share some things with you as strangers, if you will, as people of God who have been planted, and wherever you are, in particular, May 6, 2020, you've been planted in a pandemic to be a light for Christ. And to think accordingly to where you can keep yourself from falling, where God specifically keeps you from falling, but you have to look to the Lord. In fact, you don't have to turn there, but Jude chapter 1 verse 24 says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." God is able to keep us from falling, friend. But there are some things that you and I most definitely need to keep in mind. Look with me there at verse number 13. It says here, "Wherefore." Now, you want to give special attention to that word, "wherefore." Why is that word placed there? Well, "wherefore" is speaking of, he's saying, in light of everything that I've shared with you, verses 1 through 12, talking about who you are in Christ, your identity in Christ, your position, your calling, the trials you are facing. He says, in light of all that you're going through right now with these various trials and difficulties, and that's what we see as he refers them to, all these different things you're going through, he says, I'm going to tell you how you ought to be responding. Because of who you are in Christ, because what you have coming in eternity, what Christ has prepared for you, he's keeping basically their mind in check, because he knew that they were in a world where they're faced with a lot of opposition and a lot of temptation and a lot of different things going on, where they had to keep their focus, they had to keep their mind set on the things of God. And so do we, don't we? We are inundated with just so many things every day. And we mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's actually rarely used. In fact, this is the only use in this context. We see gird up, the word gird, in a couple other contexts, Ephesians being one of them. But we see here that the idea of gird up your loins is actually a metaphor. It's a metaphor used in the area of that was used with the Orientals. In fact, when they would wear their robes or their tunics, when they were getting ready to fight, or either getting ready to go after a task, a hard, laborious job, just something very difficult, a difficult task at hand. There was that phrase, there was that idea of them girding up their loins. In fact, they would pick it up, all the slack that was around their legs, they would pick it up and they would tie it around their belt, where that it would be girded there, as we see here, girding up the loins. The area of their loins is where that belt would be, and it would all be kept there. Why? To keep from impeding the use of their arms and legs, and to keep them from tripping up. Nothing swinging around. It would be tight to their body. The clothing would be, and if they needed to take off running. I can't relate here. Well, some degree I can. Some of you ladies would be wearing a dress and try to run. You know good and well that that would be difficult. And then the reason I say I can relate some, because in Africa, something I was a little surprised about at first, but I got used to it pretty quickly. It's just one of those culture shock things that you have to get over. But that is the fact that when I went to West Africa, it was very common, like it was in this time, it was very common for men to wear robes. They gave the appearance of just long dresses, if you will, and long tunics and different ways that way. And it was just a little weird sometimes. And of course, I always got a good laugh when I would wear that attire at some missions conference or whatever, because it was just so weird for Americans, you know, like, man, Brother Brinson, he's wearing a dress today, and you know, one of those things. But I can remember that times when if I had to run or to speed up quickly, or if I was doing a job at the house, I could tell, man, some of that stuff would just get in the way, and girding it up and trying to tie it up to where it wouldn't hinder what I was doing. That's the idea here. But he's not talking about, that's just, again, it's a metaphor. He's not talking about that literally. He's talking about, look, you got to gird up what? The loins of what? Your mind. Because the battleground is in the mind. That is, when he's talking about here, he's talking about the ability to understand, the ability to see through a thing. To see the end of it. And we've heard before, the battle begins in the mind, and I believe that with all my heart. The battle begins right there. In fact, we know that that's what it carries the idea, and so we understand that Peter is not talking about a physical exertion here. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about mental exertion. That which I allow to pass through my mind daily, the way I exercise my thoughts, the way I exercise, the way I'm viewing the world today and viewing my God. And that is what Peter's saying. People, you are going, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, who are strangers, you're among a heathen land, you're among a humanistic thinking, you're among a world that doesn't consider Christ and the Word of God. They don't consider that the sovereign God is in control, and they're coming after you, they're gonna persecute you and accuse you and say all these false things that are gonna try to confuse you. He's saying, listen, gird up your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Pick up all that stuff that is seeking to impede your walk with Christ, and do not let it trip you up, because it will. And I want to exhort you today, brother and sister in Christ and member of Crooked Creek and friends who you are, do not let the things of this world, whatever it might be, whether it be a news anchor or whether it be a social media outpost or whether it just be the lies that the devil is sending your way right there in your home or wherever you are, do not let it trip you up. Gird up the loins of your mind. Have a concentrated thinking, because it is a battle, friend. It really is. It is hard work to make sure that you're focused every single day. That will help you, and it will help you and keep you from falling. But then secondly, notice what Peter says. Peter says, not only do you need to gird up the loins of your mind, but then he says, be sober. that point number two is that, and to in order to keep from falling, we need to have controlled thinking. Controlled thinking. That's temperate thinking. That is a thinking that is circumspect. It is. I like the way Wiest says it on this. He says it's to be calm and collected in spirit. You see, I like another word Wiest used was this. You don't hear this word too often, but it's to be dispassionate. You know, there are things that we as Christians need to be dispassionate about. The things like that cause fear and worry. And we shouldn't let it get us all worked up. Take it, yeah, view it, but don't let it consume you and transform your thoughts into a state of anxiety. That's what would happen if you're not sober. It's used in the term of that we use sometimes of being under being sober is not being under the influence of an intoxication. Being intoxicated by an alcoholic beverage or some sort, anything of that nature would hinder the mind. But being sober is being clear-minded. If you're not set on being sober-minded each day, there's a good chance that you'll fall. There's a good chance I'll fall. I got to maintain the sober thinking when it comes to the Word of God. And number three, let me share this with you. Thoughts that will help us, or thinking that will help us and to keep us from falling, is confident thinking. Confident thinking. Look at verse 13. We see here where it says that you be sober, and then he says, and hope. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't forget that word, please. Underline it in your Bible. Hope. Hope that does not disappoint. That hope is confidence in the Lord. And in order to keep from falling, we have got to be hopeful in our thinking. This hope to the end is not in the context of, well, I need to hope until the day I die, which is true. But that's not what this verse is saying. This verse is saying hope to the end. In other words, hope completely. A hope that is absolutely confident and complete in what God has said and who God is. As a believer, as a stranger that's been scattered about. Remember the context. Believers who are facing trials and tribulation. It really is the context. Christians who have been put in the God of this world. Remember that, believer. We've been placed in a world that is controlled by Satan, the God of this world. But thank God that God has placed us here with power and strength of the Holy Spirit. And for us to make an impact, for us to make a difference, to do what? To point people to the cross. That's my life and your life. In a world where we are strangers and we're scattered and facing a lot of trials, we point people to the cross. And let me just throw this out there. Christian, be careful that you don't become too humanistic. Hey, listen, we need to be compassionate and caring. But listen, never ever let anything take place or priority over your responsibility as a believer to first and foremost point people to the cross. And we do that, of course, by being compassionate and loving. But may that always be the motivation. And may that always be the encouragement. Because He is the only answer. But we see that it is a hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. Now, notice that term there, that is to be brought unto you. Notice these next few terms. At the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? Well, I do believe it means, number one, that we, first of all, Christ has been revealed to us, has He not? Through the Word of God, we have seen the revelation of Christ. We have seen Him revealed through God and Him placing Him here on the earth, came to the earth in the flesh, lived the life of a man and as God, and died and on the cross for our sins, rose again the third day. And thank God He did that. That was a revelation to us. And those that have believed on that have been justified. They've been forgiven. They've been given eternal life and with God. And we know that. Then we also have been given His Spirit. The Spirit of God that lives in each believer shows us Christ each day as we look to the Word, as we look to His Word, and as we look to Him in prayer. The Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us constantly. There's a revelation as we're listening to the Spirit of God. My friend, I hope you make that a daily habit of saying, Lord, I want to see You today, and I want people to see You through me. Not me, Lord, not unto me, but unto Thy name give glory. That's the goal. And so we see that revelation, but then I want to take it a step further in this context. I believe the revelation that awaits, that we have not seen, is the coming of our Savior. The rapture. The next thing could happen right now. Are you ready? Are you ready? I hope you are. And if you are ready and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, that should be a great confidence for you. It should be a great hope to your heart to be longing for that and looking for that and knowing that it doesn't matter if a pandemic comes, if persecution comes, if sickness and trials come, it should not never shake the believer. It should never cause the believer to fall if we keep a confident thinking daily upon the coming of our Savior. That He came the first time, and guess what? He's coming again. Oh, may that shake us to our core. You don't hear that subject taught and preached on as much anymore these days. But listen, we believe in the imminent return of Christ. It's no joke. It's not a scare tactic. No, my friend. In fact, to me, it's a sure encouragement. It's not a scare tactic. It's an encouragement. It's a boost of confidence when I'm reminded that, hey, my Lord's coming, and He's going to straighten everything out. He's going to take His bride out, His church. He's going to take us out for 7 years. Chaos is going to take place, and then we're coming back with Him after the Great Tribulation. He's going to set up His millennial reign, and He's going to rule perfectly and justly for 1,000 years. And I look forward to that, don't you? The chaos we see today, my friend, is just a part of God's plan. But the plan is during the chaos, is there for there to be Christians like you and me who will stand firm, who will have a concentrated thinking, who will have a controlled thinking, and have a confident thinking that our Savior is coming. And He's going to straighten this out. In the meantime, let's be a light of hope, a light of peace. My friends, stop being a part of all the conspiracy theories. Stop being a part of just all the statistics, and that's all you get. Start pumping verses into your social media account. Start pumping in the revelation of Jesus Christ, which comes through this book. Let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Oh, friend, my heart is burdened that God, Lord, help me to be faithful in these days, as Peter would exhort these believers. The revelation of Jesus Christ will bring forth a confident thinking. Let me close with these couple verses. Would you go over with me to 1 John? Just flip over just a few pages in your Bible. You'll go past 2 Peter, and then you will come right to the book of 1 John. Okay? Just a few pages over, 1 John, and then look with me at chapter number 2. Again, I'm talking about the confident thinking that God wants us to have in light of His coming, in light of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That will truly help us and keep us from falling. Notice with me verse number 28. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. The Bible says, "And now, little children." Don't you love it that the Bible, the Lord calls us little children? That's what we are in the sight of God. We are so needy of Him, of our Father. We're little children. Now, little children, abide in Him. Abide in Christ. That when He shall appear, that's the rapture. What does it say? We may have confidence, hope, surety. Confidence in what? We may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Why, amen. My friend, think upon the rapture today, every day. Ask God to reignite that memory, that truth, that revelation that God has given us to think of His coming and that He is. And then just go down a few verses. Look at chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3. I hope you're looking there with me. 1 John chapter number 3. Look at verses 2 and 3. He says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear," there's the rapture, write down in your Bible to the side of those verses, the verse 28 and verse 3, "shall appear," that's the rapture. It says, "We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." You know, when we see Christ, you know we'll see Him in His glorified state. But you know what? We'll also see those nail-pierced hands. You know? We will see the piercings in His feet. We'll possibly see the scars. But He will be in His glorified state, though. And we will see Him like He is. And notice what verse number 3 says. Don't miss it. "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." Don't miss it. Every man that has the hope in him. That hope. What hope? The hope of His coming. The rapture. And that is what I believe Peter was telling the strangers that were scattered abroad, who had been planted divinely by God in a troublesome world, in a conflicting world, in a chaotic world. He had planted them to shine the light of the hope of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? That He came and He died and He rose again. And also, praise God, preaching that He is coming again. Oh, if that means the world to you, would you just say amen right there? I mean, you can just say it. You can say it as loud as you want. You can shout hallelujah. You can praise the Lord. And I want to tell you, if there are other things that Peter's going to go on back, going back to 1 Peter, we'll notice, not tonight, but Peter's going to go on and talk about some other things that will inspire and encourage and motivate the believer from falling, to keep from falling. But tonight I just want us to focus on the aspect of our thinking. How's your thinking tonight? Is it concentrated? Are you letting things impede? Are you girding up the loins of your mind? What about your controlled thinking? Are you being sober minded? Are you allowing God just to control you every day, of every moment of every day? And then, are you confident in His coming? Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, but surely soon. Coming again. Coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be. Jesus is coming again. Oh, my friends, I hope you're encouraged in the Lord tonight. Hey, you might be scattered and you might be a stranger, but praise God, you can be sure of the Word of God and the confidence that your Savior is in full control and He's coming again. I do want to just mention here in closing, I gave the challenge to read through James and 1 and 2 Peter this week, and I hope you've taken that challenge. It's been so neat, hadn't it? In fact, God used that reading to lead me to the message I had tonight. I just felt like there's some things the Lord wanted to remind us of. But let's keep reading through James, 1st and 2nd Peter through Sunday. You may read through it four times. You may read through it only once. But let's do it together. Let the Lord knit our hearts as we're apart physically. Let Him continue doing that in our hearts spiritually. And I love you, church, so much. I thank you for letting me be your pastor. I look forward and long for the day we can be back together and worship together. But in the meantime, please remain faithful. Stay encouraged. Keep looking up. And let's stay in contact with one another the best way we can. And I know we're going to be stronger on the other end. May the Lord richly bless you, families, and may you have a great, wonderful week, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Sunday.